Roadman, I want to talk about, when does the quest for Earl Gaines, when does this quest go too far? Let's cue that intro.
The big question is this: how do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness, and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh, and welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
Roadman, welcome back, Roadman. It's another Roadman cycling podcast. Thanks for joining me. I hope everybody had an amazing bank holiday weekend and it was full of nice bike riding, adventure, exploration, laughs, and maybe a small few beers. Bank holiday here in Ireland, I realise it wasn't a bank holiday everywhere around the world, but look, you'll have to put up with me sitting on my ass on bank holiday Mondays on the Irish schedule. The joys of being Irish. The Olympics are going on at the moment and I'm absolutely loving the track. The track cycling as opposed to the track athletics. I don't know what's going on in that. But track cycling, that's what I want to talk about. But today I want to specifically dig into one aspect of the track. And that's aerodynamics, because if you see how far the times have advanced, like if you look at two Olympic cycles ago, the girls now in the women's team pursuit are going as fast as the Bradley Wiggins team with Geraint Thomas in it and Ed Clancy that won gold back, you know, a decade ago. It's phenomenal how much, and the athletes are getting slightly better, no doubt. We're getting sports sciences filtering from, you know, British Cycling are spending crazy money on this, and the sports science around recovery, fueling strategies, strength and conditioning, work in the gym, that's all coming on a bit, but that's coming on small amounts. Where the huge gains are being made is aerodynamics. And this is the Olympics for me that's potentially marking the turning point in when is the quest for aerodynamics too much. Yesterday, if you had a chance to look at the men's team pursuit, we seen the Australian rider and he was riding on this new 3D printed aero bar. So if you're not familiar with this, the aero bar, it's like a typical time trial bar. So with aerodynamics, it's a quest for CDA, coefficient of frontal drag, and you want to lower the drag. It's that amount of, you know, frontal area that's exposed to the wind as you're going around. And that's really what the biggest factor in slowing a rider down is, this drag off the rider. So we do everything we can to minimize this, from shoe covers to aero helmets to dimpled fabric to even cutting skin suit sleeves. And we'll get into some of the other things Team Denmark were doing in a little bit. But everyone's trying to push the envelope on this. And one of the big innovations that's happened in the last couple of years, we've seen this in filtering down to the World Tour, it's the aero bar itself. So the bar was creating a pocket of air. So the air, the forearm that sits into the ski was wider than the bar itself. So it was creating a weird pocket of resistance. So some clever fucker came along and he decided, what if we take a mold of a rider's arm, 3D print this mold and use this as the aero bar because it removes that pocket of air. So that's what most of the top teams have been doing. But yesterday, Australia, who are riding these 3D printed bars, it broke. And it broke, resulting in a pretty horrific looking crash. No major damage, but crashing on the track is no joke. I've crashed on the track in my short but colourful life a few times. I remember my first ever track camp with an Irish team. I got picked through a talent identification where you go in and you do 4 minutes, and I didn't know what I was doing. And I went in, I think I was around 70 kilograms, and I was probably wearing like soccer shorts. And I think I'd done 485 watts for 4 minutes. And that was enough to get me into this talent identification program. And I went off and, you know, Cycling Ireland molded me and brought me through track plans. But one of my first sessions on the track, I actually slid down the bank. And when you're up very high, there's a minimum speed you need to do to keep stuck to the track. And I'd finished an effort and I went up high and I was just kind of rolling down super easy. And I slid down the track and I got a pretty bad splinter. And bad enough that I had to get 8 stitches in my ass to get the splinter cut out of me in the hospital with a scalpel and then sewn back up. So crashing on the track is no joke. It hurts like shit. And you always get these splinters. The Aussie lad went down heavy yesterday. No doubt he's picking splinters out of himself. He didn't start today. They brought in their reserve instead. But it called into question for me this idea of, you know, aero gains, and when do we stop pushing this envelope and deem that you can only push it so far before safety becomes an issue. And This was really called into question again today, for Denmark have been, over the last few years, the fastest team pursuit team in the world. They're working with Dan Bingham, who is an aerodynamic specialist. He's involved in the company AeroCoach. I'm not sure if he's the founder or one of the founding partners, but he's involved there, and they do a lot of aerodynamic testing, aerodynamic design. And Denmark have brought him in for aerodynamic assistance into the squad. So yesterday, he tried to circumvent the rule of the height your sock can be. So a sock has to finish, I know this is a crazy rule for anyone who's not super geeky out, you're probably thinking, what the hell is this about? Your sock has to finish midway between the end of your, sorry, the end of your ankle and the start of your calf. And that's where your sock has to finish. And there's a certain height parameters and stuff you get into. But really the reason is they don't want people using these huge socks, because Lycra is smoother surface and you can put dimples on and stuff, similar to like you would on a golf ball to help it fly through the air faster. You can dimple fabric where you can't dimple your skin. So Denmark decided to try and circumvent this rule by using kinesio tape, like a big sellotape or plaster, up their shin to smooth the airflow. And they got away with it, but there's a complaint about it, so they removed it for today. Now, today's race is what I want to talk about, because it was Denmark GB, and it was a place in the gold medal ride-off at stake for the winner. And we had Denmark absolutely riding amazing, scintillating ride. They were coming around to lap GB. GB had Charlie Tanfield in, who was their reserve after Ed Clancy. He's suffering from sciatica, so he had to pull out and effectively end his Olympic career. And I suppose, actually, just before I go on and tell you about the Denmark thing, just a word for Ed Clancy, because four Olympic cycles, probably one of the unsung heroes in British cycling, if not world cycling. Hugely decorated with the four Olympics, three goals in that. He's multiple world titles along the way. Very much an unsung hero in the media as well. Nobody ever talks about him, but an absolute stalwart in the success of British cycling for the last decade. So real changing of the guard to see him leaving the British team pursuit. And a sad end to it as well, sciatica. And if you remember back to the last Olympics in Rio, there was talk, even if he competed, or he continued competing, that he'd be wheelchair bound. His back problems were that bad. So that's testament to his dedication as well, and how much he wants to represent GB. But Charlie Tanfield came in, and high pressurised situation to come in. He's fifth man, maybe not expecting to ride, and then he comes in. And think about this for a bad day for Charlie Tanfield. He comes in late notice, so you have all that pressure coming into the GB team, the best team pursuit team in the world historically. They're down to three men. You need to finish with three men. He is the third man at this point, and then he's dropped, which is a fucking disaster, getting dropped when you're man three, because the time doesn't stop. The clock doesn't stop running until man three. So he's dropped from the two British riders up front. They don't know. So he's having to ride the black line, the race line, as fast as he can, because the clock won't stop until he finishes. So you contrast that to if a rider is dropped, a fourth rider, and he pulls out, you don't need to finish with four, you only need to finish with three. So if I'm dropped and I'm fourth man, I swing up the track high and I stay out of the way. But because Charlie Tanfield is dropped, he still needs to finish. So he's on the black line trying to get around as fast as he can to stop the clock. Now Denmark are on the ride of their life, potentially going for the world record of Italy. And the Denmark front lad, it was Fredrik Madsen. He has his head down. And this is where Dan Bingham comes in again, and why I titled this one, The Quest for Aero Gains and When Is It Too Much. He's in this position that is completely visually restrictive. His hands are up blocking his head. And I realize this isn't a video, but I'm just mimicking the position. His hands are up blocking his head. All the vision he has in front of him is the black line below him. That is all he can see, nothing else. So picture riding at 60 kilometers an hour, full gas, and you can't see anything. He's like a horse that has blinkers on him, just the black line behind him. I'll be honest with you, I've done it on the tandem with this head down position, and it's fucking terrifying. I remember the first time doing it and thinking, what the hell, like, this just isn't worth it. It's terrifying. But these lads are so used to it, and it's a faster position. So everyone has their head down. You're straining your eyeballs, looking up as much as you can to try and get a glimpse of when the corner's starting so you can start turning. And he has this position. He hasn't glimpsed up because he's just come out of the bend. So he knows he's a little bit of time before he needs to start looking for the next bend. He's not expecting to see Charlie Tanfield in the Black Lion, and he just smashes straight into the back of him. So Charlie Tanfield has now been drafted in late, now he's been dropped, now he's on a low ebb after being dropped, and Madsen smashes into the back of him, and to compound and add insult to injury, Charlie Tanfield has done nothing wrong at this point, by the way, it's entirely the Danish rider. The Danish rider gets off and starts screaming at him. So it's an absolute joke shop, nightmare day for Charlie Tanfield. And really, for it calls into question this whole aero position, and should there be some sort of safety assessment on A, the structural integrity of these bars, like the Australian team. They said they're stress tested, but clearly not stress tested enough if that's happening. Crazy amount of G-force going through the track in that corner, and it's different in every track because every track is banked differently, given different amount of G going through the corners. Also, this position, it needs to be looked at. You need to be able to see where the fuck you're going. And common sense needs to prevail because it's just going to get more and more dangerous unless we start. And this is the thing with the UCI. They spend all their time on the stupidest fucking shit, like, you know, the super tuck on the road, which has never, ever caused a crash. And this is the stuff that they're ignoring. It's amazing how incompetent they are. Italy, by the way, broke the world record with Filippo Ganna honed him around 3 minutes 42 seconds for a 4 km pursuit. That's astonishing. If you've ever ridden a 4 km pursuit, it's ridiculous, folks. So it's, I can't believe how fast that is. It's a combination of crazy aero gains, well-drilled team, and the fastest pursuer we've ever seen, Filippo Ganna. Tomorrow's final, Denmark got into the final, decision of the commissar after the crash because they had caught the British team. So it's going to be an amazing ride off tomorrow for gold between Denmark and Italy. We'll probably see another world record go. I absolutely cannot wait for that. Roadman, before I sign off today, just one brief bit of breaking news I seen just as I started the podcast, that Sam Bennett has confirmed that he's gone back to Borough Hansgrove for next season. He was obviously with them between 2014 and 2019, and he's had the quite public falling out with Patrick Lefevre, who equated him going back to Bora as a beaten housewife returning after, you know, a series of domestic violence. Lefevre could well be senile and losing his mind. Like, what is he thinking? He's just coming off like an absolute crazed lunatic. Sagan's gone, Ackerman's gone, both their respective leadouts are gone to their new teams. So that means the way is clear for Bennett to come back. He's going to bring Archibald with him from the Kona Quickstep. Archibald's followed him around since on post. He's going to bring Ryan Mullen across from Trek Segafredo. And I believe Danny Van Poppel is going around as well. So he's coming from Wanty Group Gobert. So Sam Bennett, in a very brief statement, said it was a difficult decision to leave, but I decided I need to continue my professional and personal development in a new environment. While some may have questioned my decision at the time, I believe it's a right move to return to Bora. I've enjoyed two great seasons at the Kona Quickstep, my boyhood dream team, and have continued my development both on and off the bike while making lifelong friendships. Sam has gone high when Patrick Lefevre has gone low. Now, it's good that he hasn't bothered getting involved in the tit for tat, and hopefully Bennett's getting paid what he's worth, because I think he's over 30 years old now, 31 years old. He hasn't got a lot of big seasons left in him, so let's hope he gets his big paycheck that sets him up for his retirement years. Roadman, I've got a super exciting guest tomorrow. Make sure you tune in for that one, especially if you're a fan of the biohacking genre. And don't forget, the final's on tomorrow, Denmark versus Italy. Roadman, be safe. And in those quests for aero gains, make sure you remember a saying that one of my first coaches gave me: head up, accidents down. Chat to you tomorrow, Roadman. Hey everybody, it's Anthony again. Really quick, I want to invite you to join arguably the best thing I've ever put out inside the Roadman community. It's a challenge. It's a challenge called the 14-Day Kickstart Challenge. So regardless of where your fitness is at right now, this is going to be the catalyst for making you faster and making you leaner. I've created this challenge to take the guesswork out of everything. It's 14 days of training plans, regardless of what your level is. There's masters, beginner, advanced. There's meal plans, shopping list, and even a video course holding your hand and talking you through it all. So what I recommend you do right now is just stop everything, press pause on this audio, and go to roadmancycling.com/14-day, or check out the link in the bio. That's roadmancycling.com/14-day.